It's a hot, sexy death summer!
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys Horror Movie Podcast. I'm Rolando.
John.
Hi, John.
Hello.
And welcome to our annual summer series, Hot Sexy Death Summer 2.
Hot Sexy Death Summer.
Nice. I feel more beachy now than last week.
I like that little cue you had right there. That was definitely not me doing that, but you heard it was like on the distance, right?
Yeah.
Can you press the cue again?
Okay. Click. Yeah. Got a new soundboard. Nearly spilled my water. New soundboard here. Cue up all kinds of sounds and noises. We are reviewing House.
What's that one do? Oh, whoops. You're welcome, fart humor introduced to the podcast finally.
New level.
We've all been waiting for it. Yeah. I've been waiting to graduate to a higher plane of intelligence.
We are the Rodney Dangerfield podcast. Yeah.
I get no sex. Right? That's what he says.
Rodney, you're here?
No one wants to do a boning to me. No sex. That's what he says, right?
Yeah. What do you say?
I remember that accurate.
He's like, one of my favorite Rodney Dangerfield jokes is, and I still use it to this day. I hurt my back. I can't lift 10 pounds. I haven't been able to pee in a week. So.
Oh, man. You remember Rover Dangerfield? He was like, Rover Dangerfield. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm nothing but a bloodhound and I'm horny or something like that, right?
Sure.
Look at my eyes. They're so big and because of sex.
Because of no respect. I'm pretty sure that's the same. Ladybugs. I don't know.
kind of reminds you of Andrew Dice Clay. He's like, I'm not like Rodney Dangerfield, but I'm also horny. That's my Andrew Dice Clay.
Andrew's here with us live. what are we doing? We're reviewing House or Hoos or what do you?
House.
Great.
1977
I had question marks about why this was a summer pick, but it bared out to be summer. It takes place during the summer vacation.
1977. Yeah, of course it does. Like, you know, other cultures have summer vacation too, Rolando.
Okay. Excuse me.
I wasn't aware of that either, to be honest.
So, I don't want to be culturally insensitive. I just assumed that they just wore the little sailor, you know, schoolgirl outfits all year round.
Yeah, what were you also surprised to learn that cicadas exist all over the world? Because I was, to be honest.
Yeah, there's quite a few surprises here. Quite a few surprises.
What else? This movie's like pretty boring.
Yeah. All right, pretty grounded.
Like nothing wild or crazy happens like in the first and also the last and also everything in between minutes.
Yeah.
Just why I picked it. I'm like, I think we need a palate cleanser, something just simple. Not going to fucking fry your brain by staring at the screen.
Yeah.
Like little easy watching. Like I was also thinking like, what's also some like palatable, easy watching, like, Zhurakowski or Takashi Mike or like, I don't know.
Warren Herzog. Early
Cronenberg.
Yeah. Nice and light. But that would be a good show to go look at Cronenberg's movies. He's a fucking weird guy.
Is he?
I don't know.
It's a fun, easy, simple stuff.
Yeah.
He's like one of those guys, like really boring and plain. Even when like he's acting in movies, he plays like really boring, plain characters, like the killer.
It's Canadian.
In breed.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't know it's what nicest guy. Him and David Lynch.
Should hang out.
That's what I. Yeah, they're best buds.
I feel like they would get in a fist fight.
Bobby would get in a fist fight. Yeah,
I think they'd be equally matched. Even though I think Lynch in a fight, like got 20 years his senior or something like that.
I don't know. I feel like Lynch would get annoyed by something really minute. Fucking.
Probably by him saying hello, and then you would be like, ah, fuck this. This is the most annoying shit I've ever heard in my life. Well, anyway, the weather is going to be pretty fucking hot today again. It's my Lynch.
It's pretty good.
Here, I'm trying to figure out how old. So David Lynch was born in the 46.
Okay.
Little trivia so people can... at their next like hangouts while drinking beers can be like, did you know that David Lynch was born in 1946?
You should be. Did you know David Lynch and David Cronenberg got in a fight?
So you should. Wow. Can you guess when David Cronenberg was born?
Yeah, he's really old. I think he's older. 32. Yeah.
By 3 years. No, 43.
1943. So wait, you said Lynch was 46 and Cronenberg's 43?
Yeah. So Cronenberg is 3 years older than Lynch.
He looks older. Very weathered. Old man. If you've seen it.
I mean, so does Lynch, right? But he also looks like that douchebag that would, like, hit on your partner at a bar, and you'd be super annoyed that this old, like, wannabe hip dude is hitting on whoever you're with.
Yeah.
Still went home with them also and be like, what the fuck? Can't be mad now.
Cronenberg is like the professor. That's what it is. Cronenberg's like, he has the demeanor of like a professor.
Yeah, he really does.
And then Lynch is like, oh, he's an artist. He's a fucking actual genuine artist. He paints and sculpts and the shit. Yeah. So.
God, some like amazing shit too, in my opinion. That's the thing. I think Cronenberg is also an artist though.
Oh. Fuck. Well, Cronenberg's
the same person, aren't they?
They both named David. This is crazy. Have we ever seen them together? Have anybody's ever seen them in the same room? Yeah, it's true.
I've talked to people that said they've seen Nightbreed, and they're like, yeah, David Lynch played that part. I'm like, no, it was David Cronenberg.
Yeah. Like,
wait a second. There's two different versions of the movie.
He's like, no, isn't he in Jason X? No, it's David Cronenberg too. That's crazy. But see, like, I feel like David Cronenberg will sip wine and, you know, David Lynch would drink out of a flask. I don't know.
No, David Lynch, David Cronenberg would be like, hey, do you want some of this wine? Because I don't know if you know this, but I'm a smelly ear. That's what you call somebody that's into wine, right?
Okay.
That's been my joke about a smelly ear. I'm like, oh, yeah, smelly ear. You'd be like, do you want some of this wine? It's perfected from 1942, made by the blood of virgins. And then David Lynch would look at him like, no, fuck that shit. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Coffee and pie. But, yeah. 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 It's like
bagels because I fucking love bagels.
Lux Bagels from Silver Lake. No, yeah, David Lynch just seemed like more American, I think is what we're describing. He's American and Kornberg's, you know, Canadian.
Yeah, I like how sophisticated we make Canadian sounds.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they drink their maple syrup with their pinky up, you know. They classy.
Fancy stuff.
Pretty fancy stuff, yeah. All right, what are we doing? What are we doing?
That's a review from episode called Tethered.
we this is why I write a script. Okay, And so when John will give us the plot in 5 words, give our first thoughts, go ahead, then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first we go back to TV Corner. We're reviewing from episode 3, titled Tether.
Now, I know it's symbolic, but do you think it's mostly just about that one girl that I don't think we mentioned this, but in the previous episode, some of the Greyhound bus folk, is that what they called them? Charter bus folk? It's been a week, so I don't remember what I called them.
Yeah.
Definitely hasn't been an hour
ago.
But yep. Two of them, like this couple, they're very worried, find themselves in, I don't know where they're at. It does look familiar. I don't know if it's like the, what do you call the, like the hospital ward thing? What is that called? Like blanking right now.
Burn unit.
Burn unit. But they're in some area, and the girl's kind of freaking out, and the dude's trying to reassure her, like, hey, you know, this will all blow over, and then this will just be like one of those funny things we talk about later, like happened, you know. Which I was like, oh man, this guy's like pretty legit. But then, because they don't know, two of the from vampire whatever they are folk people, trick them into opening the door, because they said like, hey, we're a part of the bus, we just need help. And of course they get attacked. But then they cut to like nothing, right? They cut to like something else, so we kind of forget about those people.
Yeah. But
we find the girl, and she is tethered to a tree, so to speak.
Oh. So this is the first time we should talk about this. Did you recognize the actress? She was Phoebe Rex of Kids vs. Aliens. A little movie we reviewed this year. Which you didn't like. You didn't like very much. But she was in this. She had a guest. Well, we have recorded. We have proof of what you said. she was kind of like what? Like a guest star?
Yeah.
So this is something interesting, because it looks like they purposely left her there to torture, to eat the other. So torture her specifically, that they would eat the other guy.
Well, she mentions that they said that to her, that they were like, we want to keep you here because we want to have more fun with you later.
Right.
Like, oh, that's fucked up. And then they also use that piece of rebar. That's what I thought it was. I mean, it might have still been a piece of rebar, but was also for at one point earlier in the episode, they're trying to redo the traps to catch like animals or whatever for food. And one of them was missing the stick to keep the thing up. He's like, I can't find it. And then that's where it was. They used it to shove it into her head and into the tree.
Into the tree. So she... They knew really specifically where to put it so they can keep her alive. Very smart. So I feel like this was really interesting, because they've never done anything like this. They've always just been like predatorial, like, rah, we're going to eat you in that moment or whatever. So I don't know if this is going to be like the inciting incident for them, maybe exacting revenge on them at some point, you know, like kind of a war between the people come up at night and the people that live in the town. So it seems like maybe that might be bubbling up, a kind of conflict between both of them.
Something that just occurred to me, we haven't really revisited the whole somebody did something so wrong that they're forced into that little trailer, the tiny little trailer, so
right.
The things can kill them.
Mm-hmm. No, we haven't.
I wonder if that's something we're just going to let go of. I don't see a reason for it to come back. Like, you know, like,
I think it has
right
to...
now, shit's really hitting the fan.
Yeah, that's kind of like a punishment, right? Because it's like to live in that town, I guess. I guess they have to live pretty... You have to live by the rules. You can't really, like, sway out of... Like, try to make your own... thing here, because this is what the, I think this is what Boyd was talking about when he was talking to Randall, when Randall wanted to keep the guns, and he told him, like, no, you can't keep the fucking guns. And he perfectly, explains that if you want to follow your own rules, take your gun and go live out in the woods and see how long you last, or give up your gun and you can live with us. Which,
yeah,
proven survivors, which is, I think is kind of like a perfect idea of what this group, or, you know, this group that lives together, why they need to live together, why it works, right? Because there are rules and there's like a structure to it.
I wonder if this, what's his name again? The Randall.
Yeah, Randall.
Daryl type of character.
Randall. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to be the guy that's kind of like, you know, figure something out, the whole, maybe makes like a hole in a fucking wall or a door, so they can't come through, but he pokes the gun through and he's able to like kind of shoot these things in certain areas and see what affects them or doesn't affect them, or
because
I'm sure they haven't done anything like that. They don't seem like the type of people that would try to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
my
assumption anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. One of the more bright spots of characters on the show. Actually, I felt like the people they've kept have actually been pretty good overall. There's nobody annoying. Even though we did have a character who was kind of annoying show up at the end of the episode.
That's true. And also, continuing on with last week's episode, the whole, her name Christy, right?
Yes, we're talking about the relationship.
Again, I don't like they had another scene together, and I was just like, oh, man.
It's pretty flat. Yeah, it's pretty flat.
It's not interesting.
It's just kind of boring. It's kind of like
no chemistry. It's like I don't believe for a second that they were like super in love.
I don't believe for a second they want a scissor again. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa. Yeah. Pride Month.
But
did you want to? I'm sorry. Elaborate, please.
On
what do you mean? Scissor, like cut each other with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I meant. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no. I think we also fell to talk about, or we have not talked about, Boyd. When he finally makes it back to town after running into Victor and
Tabitha? There you go.
I'm getting there.
You're there, yeah.
And
what's the husband's name? I wouldn't know either.
Dad? Husband?
Yeah, he has a very boring first name. Let me... Yeah, this is Jim. Jim.
Yeah. First, yeah, Jim. Sure.
Jim. Looks like a Jim.
Jim and Tabitha.
Jim and Tabitha. Classic.
Americana names. Jim. But they find that trailer that, was it U-Haul that Victor used to hide in as a kid? So I'm wondering why this, other ghost kid has been helping him. That's where I start to think, some of these ghost apparition characters are not the same as the vampires, and are, again, I feel like there's some sort of what's the word I used last week, simulation thing going on.
Yep.
You know, and these people are inputting and kind of being like, oh, let me help you a little bit because it's not fair or whatnot, or I don't know. Maybe it's a cabin in the woods style thing where...
Possibly, yeah. Well, there's two things to that. So Tabitha started seeing people, especially two kids, twins.
Yeah, the two twins.
The two twins. Boyd, two things for Boyd also, too. We forgot to mention that the guy in the chains mentioned his wife's name. Like, how does he know his wife's name?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then we had this... Phoebe Rex played this character that was pinned to the tree, and a really great scene, very emotional, very well done scene, great guest star part. emotional, very good scene. And when she passed away, she found out the name of the character, the name of the character's last name, and Boyd, you know, has a moment with Donna and explains that, like, he goes on and tells a story about being in infantry, they got blown up or something, ran over some sort of, you know, man-made bomb. I know there's like initials for it, but I can't remember it. And then they blow up, and then one of the guys he tried to save dies, but his last name was the same last name as her, and he's thinking, like, why am I trying to make these connections to all these things? Like, he's trying to, like, wrap his head around, like, why is he trying to connect all of these details? Like, because he thinks...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... I mean,
it's kind of weird, because usually I think you would feel like, he's just starting to lose grasp a little bit, but they wouldn't have presented it unless it was important. I think he's getting closer to what's really going on. That's why I think it's maybe like a rehabilitation sort of center or something like that.
Possibly. Yeah. This place, I think he was like saying this place is making him crazy basically. And that also they kind of insinuate Boyd is better. Because he had Parkinson's, right? Was that the...
Yeah, like he had early Parkinson's, but then...
he swapped...
Chain guy gave him warm blood.
Which cured blood. His Parkinson's. Let that be a note, too.
to all the doctors out
there. Out there, warm blood is the key, like, guys.
Like 90% of our listeners are in the medical field, I think is what we
obviously
know doctors, so warm blood,
the huge doctor reach here. So Donna actually kind of makes a good point, like, are you back now, are you still trying to, like, you know, get out of here or whatever, are you going to be here day to day, because she doesn't feel confident she could do it by herself.
I mean, yeah, she in like a roundabout way was kind of pleading with him to stay,
right? Like, she really can't do this because the challenges they're going to be met with, right? Because he said that there's 25 bus people, only 22 survived, rations are low, there's more mouths to feed, it's kind of like a dire situation. So it's Boyd being back, Boyd's ability to lead and, like, make good judgment calls some of the times is needed.
He's
now.
Doing his best, yeah.
Yeah, is needed now more than ever, because Donna can't do it by herself. Because I feel like Donna and him are like the quote unquote leaders of these society, town people. So, they have the most influence. So. Yeah, really solid episode. What else happened? Jade stole the violin. Oh, Jim got out. This is the other thing I wanted to talk about. So Jim got out of the collapsed house. And I like that they reference the fact that they haven't seen each other since the end of last year's season finale.
Oh, yeah.
Because Tabitha's like, there's the light cords, the cords to the power don't lead anywhere. You just power on. And he's like, what? Like, he's like, and then it kind of refreshes the idea that she was digging the hole while he was trying to build that radio thing with Jade.
So between this episode and the season finale, it has roughly been about like 24 hours.
Yeah, roughly. Yeah. So it's kind of crazy. Yeah. And it was always kind of weird that they had gotten separated anyways. That they weren't more in step with each other. So that was kind of odd.
Yeah.
Well, at least they addressed it. They did make more mention of it, which I thought was nice. And Jade
and then
steals the... I was going to mention Jade. The violin. Knows how to play it. So...
Of course, gets mad. Or Victor gets mad, understandably. But then Jade is able to convince him to be like, but I saw this. And he's like, okay, I'll help you.
Like, I thought
that
he...
happened.
Yeah.
And then nothing important happened except for Sarah Myers is back.
Oh. Who is the skinny girl?
The one that murdered the priest in the first season and ran away and
killed her brother.
Brother.
Did she kill the priest? Who'd she kill?
I thought so. I thought she killed both.
The priest got killed by some random dude because he was outside.
Hmm. Oh, that's right. That's right. He wasn't able to make it. Like, they were able to bring him inside, but then he bled to death, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like no loss there. He was kind of a boring actor. And so apparently the family that lost their house, the Matthews family, you know, our main family when we started the show, they are moving in with the Asian family, Kenny's family, which leads me to think Kenny won't be stuck on Christy for very long because I think he's going to be moving on to something new and younger, and Julie.
Oh, well, here they go.
Did you get that vibe or did you get that sense?
I'm not sure where to go with any of that. If she's kind of like Callie, I'm not sure.
I just want everybody to get together and be happy. Yeah. Yeah. Because they had an interaction that made me to believe it. But
I think that's pretty much it, right? I'm just really anxious to talk about this movie, if we can move on to this movie.
Before we move on, we got to talk about Famia and Ellis got married. So, are going to get married.
Super interesting part of the episode. Right? I totally care.
I just think it's going to lead to somebody's death. I think one of these characters is going to die.
Please. Yeah. I mean, hopefully.
Too many mouths to feed now. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think John's ready to move on.
None of them are bad actors. It's just one of those things like, oh my God, this is like the whole Shauna killing that guy thing again, where I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I got you.
You guys have been here for a long time. Why is this an issue now? Whatever. Okay.
It's finally getting to her. Yeah. She can't keep doing it, John. let's move on as John shakes his head disapprovingly, takes a sip of water.
Dehydrate.
Let's move over to our main review of House. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Drum roll, please.
Sure. You just pull up my notes. For 1977's Hao Su, directed by a very prominent Japanese
notable director, easy to pronounce.
Nobuhiko Obayashi.
Yep, nailed it. Yep, 100%.
Coming in at number 3, Blanche is one killer cat. That's the name of the cat, by the way, Blanche.
Yeah.
I'm sure they said it differently. I thought maybe that would be your favorite part of the movies.
Well, I wasn't too happy about the end results of that situation, but yes, I was very happy to see a cat.
The cat's around. I mean, coming in at number 2 for Hao Su. 70s, when everyone took LSD.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1 for Hao Su. Group of ladies share fantasy.
Okay. That's
Fanta. They said Fanta 1,000 times.
Well, because that was somebody's name, wasn't it?
Was somebody's name, but then they also were like, oh, just remember, it's a fantasy out here. And then when they were referring to her, it would be credited as Fanta in the subtitles, not fantasy.
So, John, this is a movie you've seen before.
I need to hear how much you hated it.
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I was a little bored with it sometimes, but I wouldn't say I hated it. So immediately I understand why you might say I didn't like it, because there's a lot of like really like goofy, off the wall situations happening that didn't make any like sense.
It's very also the closest thing I can relate it to in present day. It kind of feels like a Mexican and Korean soap opera all wrapped up in one for like the first like 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, like there was a lot of like, so immediately when it was when it opened, it starts with like the girls at school and everything, and they're like very like playful music, and they're behaving very childlike, you know, just kind of just being overly
I appreciate you saying that, playful music, because it is the same song for the entire movie. It is the same thing in every scene.
So that made me think that, okay, so this movie is, the way I kind of like sat myself was like, this is, we are in the emotional, we are in the emotions of the girls that we're seeing the emotions play out through these girls' lives. Does that make sense? Like, this is from their perspective. Like, everything, they're so innocent and haven't experienced a lot, so they have a very, like, carefree, comedic, comic point of view of life. So, which is why there's all these crazy things going on. And that's one way to interpret it.
No, yeah, definitely. It's like fucking, I mean, I don't know how else you present or set up a movie that is going to eventually be so surreal. You know, You might as well make everybody off the wall to begin with.
Yeah, because there was like, no, go ahead.
Just each of the characters' names also represent just like the exaggerated attributes they got. Like, except for Sweets. Sweets is the only person that's kind of like, her thing is she likes to clean.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit of a back. I guess I learned a little bit of a backstory as to why each of the characters are the way they are and why like things happen. The director got most of his inspiration from his daughter. So his daughter was 12 years old at the time. He had only been directing a bunch of commercials, but he was very like prominent in the industry for commercials during that time. Which is why all these actresses, except for the lady that plays the aunt, and even the actors, I think, are all models that he worked with for commercials. And he wanted to bring them on in his first feature, like, length debut film. But all the inspiration came from, like, yes, his 12-year-old daughter talking about how, like, she didn't like the mirror she was using because the mirror was eating her. Like, can you imagine having children now?
That makes sense.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Like the main girl's name is Gorgeous because she's the lead and she's pretty. There's a character named Kung Fu who has a...
What does she do?
Insane reflexes. Like, some like pretty comic, doesn't even... does not go down without a fight.
Yeah.
Even if she's only half a person. Not even the thinking half.
I think it's kind of evident that like a child wrote this. Does that make sense without being like demeaning it in a way? Like it definitely feels like from a child's point of view.
Yeah, because it's
because it was. It's been my child. It's
fucking weird is why.
Yeah. It's fucking weird. It doesn't make any, there's leaps of logic. People are behaving oddly in an exaggerated way. And I kind of got that sense from the girls and I kind of, why I came to the conclusion that they were following her emotional kind of like her swings of emotions. It's because it's like, she sees her dad and she has like this picturesque, overly idealistic relationship. And then there's like this other woman who she's not very like keen on, you know?
Even though everything about this woman is whimsical. Because like drawn out with, you know, fans blowing her hair and her scarf as she's like gliding across the screen and just like close-ups of her smiling. And it's like, what the fuck? This is awesome.
So which I think was probably her interpretation of what was going on for her emotionally.
because at the end, the same thing happens. She is not around to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think it's just like, this is what this character is, I think, in the world. Like, this character is this whimsical all the time. But I do like the dad. I think I like the dad more than Togo, so I was sad that the dad wasn't around at the end. Because he's very, like, gritty, down-and-out guy, even though he's a film composer, because he was in Italy or something.
I did like that, yeah. The Leone name drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name, Mark?
Angelo.
Oh, shit, his, like...
Angelo something. What is it? Fuck. They literally just said it in the movie. He's you know, the fucking guy he always works with.
Marconi.
Neo
Marconi, where he's like, oh yeah, he said my stuff's better than Marconi's stuff.
Like, yeah. Yeah, so what a name drop.
Yeah. So I know it's a pretty tough, like, first, like, 10-15 minutes, right? Because it's just kind of like, either you're submerged in it and how wacky it is, or you just start to think it's a little bit boring, which I understand also.
So I actually was opposite. I actually thought the beginning was more interesting, but once they get to the house, things kind of just kept, like, it was like one too many, like, weird things. Does that make sense? Like, it was just, it's for me. Yeah, no, I got it. But it's just like one too many, like, things. It's like, where's this movie going? We're just going in circles, you know? Like, there wasn't, like, a clear, like, progressiveness of the plot. It's kind of just like one wacky, crazy thing after another. Because even though I felt like in the beginning, there was like kind of a storyline to kind of follow, even though there was like crazy shit happening. And like, yeah, you were getting assaulted by like weird music and behavior and like all kinds of like crazy stuff. It's still like, there was a story there to follow. But once we got to the house and things, weird shit started happening, it's kind of like, I was kind of waiting for the, you know, and these.
Well, the aunt ended up being a vampire, or like some sort of succubus, I would say more so, took over the body of who used to be her aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the aunt, or, you know, whatever that succubus, I am led to believe is the reason that her mom died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, the soul, what, like, there's a lot of rules too that I don't catch until I see the movie again. Like, you got to be invited to the house. You got to be invited by somebody else. You can't just randomly show up. Because that's what happens to another character, without spoiling anything. Like, they can never find the house. Mm-hmm. That part was bananas, by the way. Yeah, I think that's the whole thing. Like, I think it's going to be a continuation like that. But then there's nobody to go. I think the girl's families could try to go and find them. Would have been what the sequel is. But the director decided that this should just be a standalone event. Like, there shouldn't be any more movies to this.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I don't think you could top this.
That's fucking wacky. Yeah. What'd you think of... So there's a character named Mac, which I can't fathom. Like, does Mac means, like, is it a word I'm unfamiliar with, I guess? Because I don't think the Big Mac was around yet. It's 1977, right? Am I wrong?
I don't know McDonald's history. I think they were made in the 60s, weren't they?
But the Big Mac?
Oh, I don't know about the Big Mac.
You know what I mean? Because I was trying to figure out why she was called Mac. Unless that's just a jab at, like, American people. Like, being...
Mac.
Oh, 1967. Never mind. So the Big Mac was around. So the character Mac, who they keep, like, teasing for, like, eating all the time, is the first person to go, but really just disappears. And one of the girls is, like, going to... get water from a well, and she's like enjoying the countryside, which I also really like how fucking bizarre it looks. It's like obviously green screen, right? Like all chromed out. I mean, the director admits that too. He's like the first movie that in Japan to use a lot of special effects like that.
Mm-hmm.
So everything looks like funky, and she's pulling the fucking the bucket from the well, and she's not paying attention. And she looks back, and it's Mac's head just looking at her, saying like fantasy, or like saying, I guess it was it Fanta that pulled the head out.
Sure.
I don't know. I kept talking about like, hey, everything's kind of like you're just imagining things. It's a fantasy. Blah blah blah. And then proceeds to like spook her, so she's trying to run away, and then the head goes and bites her butt, and then lays on top of it, and then she runs away.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's some good shit. So yeah, that's one thing I remember prominently from watching it from the first time. I was like, oh, fuck is going on? Because the head started floating around.
Yeah, I one of my favorite moments was with the piano player's death. I don't remember the name.
Oh, Melody.
Melody. Yeah. Oh yeah, her death was awesome. Just slowly getting consumed piece by piece by the fucking piano. And then,
I like her fingers are eaten off and she just starts to smile, right?
Yeah. I also like that there's, when she plays, there's like a skeleton dancing in the back of her or something.
Oh, the skeleton with the eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you also, did you catch like the house turns the girls into like different objects? Like I think Mac.
Yes.
Mostly yeah. Turned into a watermelon, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then her hand was still there and the aunt like was eating the hand at one point.
Mm-hmm.
The aunt that kind of looks like what's the name of that artist that everybody thought was super amazing back in the '70s?
Elton John.
Everybody has their 50 minutes of fame guy, the Campbell's soup guy. White guy with the, he's like in every movie whenever they talk about. Not him, but like somebody portrays him. Crispin Glover played him in the Doors movie.
Whoa.
He gave the golden phone to Val Kilmer. It's like, he said I can talk to God on it, but I don't have anything to say to him. I mean, maybe you can have it.
I don't know. You
don't know what I'm talking about? He's the guy that created pop art, like had the bunch of
Andy Warhol?
Of Monroe and different Andy Warhol. Like the aunt looked very Andy Warhol-esque because she had to wear like sunglasses outside and she had like the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Obviously wasn't an old person. Barely yeah. The only actual actor in the movie too.
Yeah, that's right. She did wear those little glasses, kind of like Dracula, like Gary Oldman's Dracula. But yeah, no, I mean, I didn't like dislike the movie. I hope that's not
I thought you'd be super stoked and be like Kung Fu is my favorite character.
Kung Fu was my favorite character.
So it was fucking badass.
But
like it didn't make a lick of sense how she was doing any of it, but it was super funny. Like the first time the chandelier shard falls and almost hits Sweets or somebody. And she knocks her out of the way and with her hand hits the shard and it flies right into like something else. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Okay, the cat eats it. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go into spoilers? If there's anything to spoil, really? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we can spoil. Let's go.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Yeah, my favorite part is Kung Fu's death. So nobody lives in this movie except for the dad, I guess, is what I'm gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Because Togo, their teacher that they all want to marry for reasons.
Yeah.
Agrees to meet up with one of them at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the house. He's the only other guy in the movie, I think, that's like a lead. Oh, aside from the weird dude with the watermelon that lives.
I was gonna say the water about the watermelon farmer, but all right.
Just... And then the ramen guy.
And the ramen guy. These are major characters.
Yeah, very prominent.
Yeah.
I like his death a lot, actually. The Togo character, the teacher. He's like trying to get over there. There's all these like goofy moments where he's in his little motorcycle and there's like some dude in a big truck going like, "Hey, move." And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, the traffic's really bad." And then the guy's like, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry." And then that was the whole scene. I was like, what? Yeah. I like rewound because I was like, I don't really remember this and I don't know what's going on here. Oh, that's just it. He's just stuck in traffic and some guy got mad and then apologized. But he's trying to find the house. He can't find it. And then he proceeds to, I'm just going to say, the way he dies is bananas.
Well, it's spoilers. You could.
Yeah. No, I mean, literally it was bananas. Like a bunch of bananas fell on him and he died.
Yeah. Like,
bushels and bushels of bananas. In fact, he said it. He was like, bananas. There were bananas everywhere, and then he died.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kung Fu's death is probably my first favorite, though. Like, she refuses to give up, and she keeps trying to fight everything off.
Mm.
In fact, at one point, she's chopping wood outside while that other girl is taking a bath, and like the hair like starts to crawl on her, and then recedes or whatever, and then I think it's Gorgeous. That's when Gorgeous gets possessed or turns into the vampire or whatever it is, the succubus.
Mm-hmm.
She's chopping wood, but then all the wood comes back together and she's not paying attention because she's all sweaty and she's like just enjoying the countryside, and a bunch of wood pieces, logs, try to attack her, and she immediately like deflects them all and hits them all off, and then like falls back down on her feet, and she goes, "Ugh, it must be an illusion. I'm imagining things. What a fantasy." And then proceeds to catch like the apron or whatever the fuck she was using in her hand and walk away. Like it was in the air for like those full 30 seconds that she was doing all that. Like this character's badass. And then she gets cut in half by the house.
Yeah.
But refuses to give up because her legs come out of this thing that she got cut in half by, and proceeds to kick the picture of Blanche the cat on the wall. And I thought that the cat died, but I don't think so.
I don't think the cat's dead, yeah. I don't think anything died. No, I think the cat's on the supernatural side, nothing died.
Right? Yeah, no. Yeah, there you go. Like, Kung Fu almost saves the day, but then does not. Nobody lives.
I did like the... What was the character's name? The one with the glasses.
Prof? Prof, yeah, like professor. Prof.
She gets... There, I don't remember. They hit the picture of the Blanche, and it starts spewing out watery blood. And they raft on a piece of wood together, and they, what's her face, Prof gets pulled under, and by an inanimate object. It looks like it eats her, but then falls, goes underwater, comes back up with the glasses of Prof, which is fucking great. That was, and they're like,
but then like it's sucked under again, and then like all her clothes get ripped off.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
like, this fucking like bizarre like underwater.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, I forgot about that, like, but yeah, fully
like acid trip of like she's just like this body floating around and,
yeah, naked body floating around under the water. It was it was pretty crazy.
Which is also the exact opposite of the movie we reviewed last week, where like people would get naked but it was like all like very gratuitous, and this is just more of like what's an even weirder thing we can make happen right now.
It's the least interesting thing going on is the nudity in this movie.
Also like her logic was like, we need to continue to read this diary to understand, but then nothing comes of it.
yeah this is a crazy movie. Very crazy movie.
Pretty wild.
Pretty good though. I can see why it's considered like Criterion.
Yeah,
makes a big thing about it.
It's like at 530 something to have joined the Criterion Collection, so pretty early too.
Mm-hmm. So it, I can see why. Yeah, it's unique in so many ways. So, and it's also a memorable movie to watch and see that that something like this got made and existed. So that's part of, I think, what Criterion does, right? Preserve and try to cultivate movies. That,
like, this is a movie you wouldn't be surprised to be seeing at, like the surrealistic portion of a museum, right? Like, if they're randomly just playing it in a dark room, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, like Un Chat a la Lau or whatever. I don't know how to say it. I'm not gonna the what do you call it? What's his name? The guy that hit it. Like, everybody thinks Salvador Dali made that movie, but it wasn't him. He, like, was around, but he gets all the credit for it for some reason. You know what I'm talking about? Un Chat a la Lau, right? The famous one where they cut open the goat's eye as a close-up, and it's supposed to be the lady's eye, and it's the moon. The cloud is going across the moon.
It's, I, like, think so.
One of the earliest, like,
filmed things?
No, just one of the earliest, like, surrealistic movement movies.
Okay.
Un Chat a la Lau. Luis Buñuel.
Benoit, okay.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's kind of up there with that sort of weird...
surrealistic.
Yeah. Fantasy-style movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good stuff.
Very good.
I think I like it.
No, it's a good movie. Good movie. Despite its weirdness. Like I say, it's not for everybody, obviously, right? But I wouldn't object to seeing it again. It's a crazy movie.
Yeah, which is why I'm saying... go watch Beau's Afraid while you still can.
There's a connection?
Because Beau's Afraid is fucking weird.
What is it? I think it's out to rent now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Highly recommend it. I mean, it's also going to be like a very hard watch, but highly recommend it.
I was thinking about watching it. Well, I saw Synecdoche, New York in the theater, so I'm no lightweight for weird movies. In Texas, by the way. We were living in Texas and I saw it. So.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to get in the movie theater.
There was nobody there. About how
I can't watch the new... this is going to date when this comes out. It doesn't matter. I can't watch the new Wes Anderson movie because it's fucking basically sold out everywhere because we live in LA. But if we were still back in our little part of Texas, nobody would give a shit about Wes Anderson.
I mean, except for, like, our film buds, like, the people we went to school with, they would be like, oh, my God, it was an interesting movie. Blah, like, puking excitement. I don't know.
That's me, yeah.
Yeah.
I hurled so hard when I heard he made a new movie. I'm like, that means there's going to be an animated movie coming out soon, too, right? I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, also, highly recommend that movie Flaming Hot. I haven't talked about this, but yeah, I saw that movie Flaming Hot, and it was really fucking good, I thought.
So how do you feel about the controversy that it's not actually true, the story?
I don't think I really care about all that. I mean, when you watch it, you're like, obviously, this couldn't have been the way this happened, but that's fine.
Okay, because that was like the only thing that I was probably against, is that it's not, they claim it's like a real story, but it really didn't happen the way that... the guy described it, and he even came out as saying that this isn't like he lied basically. So, but
which is on par with the way the movie works too. A lot of it's not really about how he made the product.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how he just never quit, I guess.
Hmm.
And persevered and maybe told a couple of white lies to get like to certain areas, but it was nothing like. That's pretty good. I like
it. Plus, I'm a Flaming Hot Cheeto addict since teenager. I don't know if you know this,
as
John.
As well as just being a Flaming Hot Cheeto. Yeah. He's telling people, you know, the amount of people that think like the shit that we ate growing up was gross. I'm like, I understand. Objectively, I understand. But until you try it, you're not going to understand.
Like what? Stuff we ate in Texas?
You should eat pickles with popcorn.
Nobody
fucking weird to you.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought everybody was strange here because they kept asking for fucking pickles at the movie theater. I'm like, I'm at a movie theater, right? Where are the pickles?
Yeah. They looked at you crazy.
And then also putting nacho cheese and Flaming Hot Cheetos bags.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what? You mean like Frito pies? I'm like, I mean, kind of, but no. You got to put that. You got to do the lime juice. It's the whole thing.
Dude, I literally had this conversation too at work. I was like, oh, yeah, I got some Frito pie at, what's his name of this place? Home State. And I was like, what? What's Frito? What's that? And it's like, well, it's bag of chips, chili and cheese, maybe a lettuce, tomato, if you want to get fancy. But yes.
Fritos.
He's like, I was like, you've never had that? No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, really? And so I literally went and asked every single person that I could about how they'd heard about Frito pie. Nothing. Nobody knew what the fuck I was talking about. And I was like,
yeah, I don't know.
That's crazy. That's fucking crazy.
Now, I started working with a lot of people that are interested in Mexican culture in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the big things, though, was like, because they turned to me like, well, John, you know, so is it really worth it? Like, is it worth the hype? The whole like eating popcorns with pickle, because some celebrity does that, but they use the pickle juice. And I was like, why the fuck would you just use the pickle juice? Oh, Selena Gomez. I was like, why just the pickle juice? And they're like, do you just douse the thing in pickle juice? I'm like, no, it's going to get all fucking soggy and gross. You bite the top of a pickle off and you start putting little popcorns on it and you bite it off again.
Yeah.
You go through the whole thing until your stomach feels so sour that you can't move.
Yes.
It's a part of the experience.
Inside of your cheeks feel so chapped. So.
You feel so dehydrated by the time you leave the movie theater.
So here's the other thing I didn't like. So I was sharing a popcorn once, and somebody had the pickle and just threw it in the bag without my consent. And I took offense to that. Like, you don't just throw the pickle in the bag. Yeah, like, pickle. You don't throw the
monster, are you?
Like, yeah. Like, if we're sharing popcorn, you know, you don't just automatically just throw pickles out. So I literally got it. Put it right back. I was like, you can't put this shit in here, because I don't want you know, I totally get the whole like pickle thing, but like, you don't, I don't want it. I don't want my popcorn to taste pickly. So,
well, yeah, then like I said, like parts of it get all soggy and like it gets all like,
yeah,
turns to mush up to like the kernel. Yeah, like, you're just casing, like, and you're just kind of like, just
melting into your hands. Yeah, just, yeah. It's disgusting. Is it so soggy and wet?
And then one more thing, I know this turned into like our what we eat in South Texas, but the whole, when, like, I feel like people don't understand how to use Bunch of Crunch. Like, they just eat it straight out of the box, which is like, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, you're supposed to like just pour it into your popcorn bag. That's the whole point of the treat. It's on the box. It says to do it. And nobody does it.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever had that.
On top of like eating it with the pickle. Yeah, it's good.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Yeah, people. Yeah, that sounds like Texas City right there.
Like, people think they're so adventurous here by putting fucking nacho cheese on their popcorn. I'm like, been doing that since I was born. I don't know.
Yeah, more, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like, all these things. Like, nope, been doing that since I was born.
Yeah, or, well. Well, no, this is something else. But anyways, yeah, no, there's other like food things. So literally my plan is, if we have a potluck for Christmas, I'm making Frito pie. Making Frito pie.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna fucking bake it. I'm gonna do like fancy and shit. It's gonna be good. Like a pie. They're gonna
I'll bring over the
pickle.
Three Kings cake, but it's just gonna be a fruitcake mold.
Yeah.
That way nobody touches it, because I've never met the person that fucking likes fruitcake.
Nobody likes fruitcake. I've had it, but it's kind of gross. Yeah.
It tastes awful. Like,
yeah.
And I thought maybe, I was like, oh, maybe they're all different. Nope. Okay, this is bad.
Yeah, they're all the same. Yeah. What are there? And also, I tried to explain burritos, even though they're chimichangas, but they just call them burritos because they didn't know how to sell. They couldn't sell a chimichanga in the valley, so they just called it a burrito because it's more common, easier to explain. They're just burritos.
Yeah.
But well, they're chimichangas. But
chimichangas are supposed to be deep fried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of that whole story, which is clearly untrue, but I'm going to stick with it, though, where the the lady was making a bunch of burritos and was trying to fold them all, and she dropped one into a bunch of oil. She was like,
happened to be making it.
Yeah. For something, for, you know, a family. It is, you know, Mexican culture. The mom or the grandmother is usually the one in the kitchen, and you stay out of her fucking way or she will kill you.
Not wrong.
She dropped it, but like there was a kid coming in and she was about to say like chingao or something like that. And she was like, chi, and she turned around and looked again, chimichanga. And the kid was like, oh, is that what that is? And she pulled it out, waited for it to cool. And the kid ate it and was like, this is delicious.
Okay. That's the most unbelievable thing, and I just saw House, so first scene in my life. Yeah,
I had to tell you, I was that kid. It's a true story. It happened. And that lady, that's right. That lady was Barack Obama.
And, Barack Obama is your mom. Yeah.
And I'm that kid, Britney Spears. That's a true story. Barack Obama was making burritos. It's a true story. It's on the internet.
Must be true. What are we talking about? I don't remember.
How soon?
We're going into ratings. Oh, okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Houseu 8 sexy, spooky, freaky, weird shit bones.
I think I will do.
I'm gonna go. You're gonna say 6.
No, because I don't think it was. I think it's better than The Burning. But I gave The Burning a 7. So yeah, I guess an 8. I'll give it 8 sexy spooky bones.
Nice.
It's a good movie. I would recommend it. I have no objection to it.
Yeah, it's so fucking... like, you know, when you said it, it's kind of like a kid did it. And it's like, I agree. But like professionally done. And just... I think a polite way to say it is... very creative. Very creative film.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
A lot of imagination that I don't have went into this.
Exactly. All right, guys, gals, not binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.